shift the gears with DD Speed Shop. We're back again with tales from the garage where the hot rods rain. Dan and Murr, they're the wrench-turning crew with Danny by their side. The podcast begins. They're talking classic hot rods and new cars too. Life hacks and lifestyle and a little YouTube. It's DD Speed Shop, the podcast.
Dan here, Murr and Danny. So, instead of doing our typical hanging out in the garage and BSing around or doing whatever, we're going to drive around. So it's kind of like, well, it's basically like Jerry Seinfeld movies and cars, except it's with old white dudes.
We're missing the comedians.
And Danielle, chop liver. She's not mic'd up, so we figured out if me and Murr both wear microphones and Danielle doesn't, we're all the same level of volume. So we'll try this out. This might be a swing and a miss, but it's always kind of fun doing something. I want to put miles on the Schnellmad here. So we were looking at it, actually. I think I got the rattle over the tailgate.
Yes,
there.
There you go.
It has a piece of rubber fuel line, and it was still rattling, so I folded it in half, so it became double thick. But anyways, this thing was kind of... I've been driving it a little bit, so I put it back together, so the videos are pretty well, I think, up to date on it. Steering wheel's crooked, people. Let me know in the comments. What was I saying? Oh, but it still smokes. So it's idling around is fine. Fires up good. It's only when you kind of really put some load on it and you rev it that it becomes just a little unhappy. And, but, well, I don't think we're doing a whole lot of power shifting in this thing, so it's just fine. It's so quiet. Nice to drive.
It's very quiet.
People actually did not like that you have
it's
the
raining
fan on all the time. Oh, boy.
Oh. And the convertible's at your house with the roof down.
Are we rescheduling this?
Maybe we might have to.
Oh, well, that's great.
It's we'll see how bad it rains.
It's not supposed to rain according to the forecast.
The forecast. You know what? The only people worse than people who give weather advice, like, they're the worst people out there. Anyways, so we're going to put some miles on it. Murr seems to think, he keeps telling me, oh, maybe it's the rings, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. So ultimately, this thing, I mean, it for sure sat for at least 20 or 30 years before I got it. And then who knows what the motor was before. And based on the fact that it was every possible color but Chevy orange, makes me think it was probably just kind of pieced together at some point anyway. So it could be a 40, 50-year-old motor with 100,000 miles on it, for all we know. The rain's definitely not... They're big drops. There's not many of them, but they're quite large. Mm-hmm. So, that takes us to our first topic. Really, that's been getting me going here. Hey, we're still good. Well, honestly, I kind of feel like half the video, this thing's probably going to break down. We'll get to fix it.
Yeah.
I brought a Leatherman and a pair of pliers, and we have a fire extinguisher. And the battery is hooked up loosely. So we have everything we need. But, so today is Saturday, right before Father's Day. So Power Tour would have ended yesterday for us, or 2 days ago for when this video's coming out. And man, people are complaining about Power Tour. And they're complaining for, I don't think the Power Tour has done anything wrong. It's just people are they're peopling it. And I think you gotta take a step back and kind of realize life's pretty good. So, the biggest comments I was seeing was, and every year that we go, it's the line. People bitch about the line to get in, the line for food, the line for this. Which is fine, but I mean, we're talking, how many, is there 5,000 cars?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I think if you put 5,000 cars in, I mean, it's like trying to get into a hockey game or a football game.
Yeah.
When there's that many people who all want to come in at the same time, there's a lineup.
No matter how organized you can be, like, that's just inevitable.
Yeah, so it's kind of going to be what's going to be.
Well, and I mean, you either prepare for that or you don't. Like, people bring coolers and water, like, have your, you know, whatever, our cool shirts and stuff. We always made sure our cooler was full, because we knew there's going to be lines.
Yeah, I mean, I think people get frustrated, but it just falls into gear now. They get frustrated because, I mean, you're waiting in line, your cars are the amount of cars that are in the big lineup with their hoods up and stuff like that because they're running too hot. And I mean, that's unfortunate. That's Power Tour 101. I mean, make your car not overheat in traffic.
Like, well, you found that when you went. You over-prepared. Like,
yeah.
You drive around where we live on the hottest day without a problem. But the hottest day where we live is a normal day down there.
Well,
and gets way hotter, so...
And, I mean, I don't know how the facts are with, you know, actual heat there. But I think if it's 100 degrees and you're outside, it's one thing. But it's 100 degrees when you're in nothing but asphalt and other cars and the radiant heat around you, like... I mean, it is hot. Like, you're in this, you know, a lot of times they're in those super speedways and stuff. You're in just a bowl
of people. Yeah, where no air movement.
And like, it's hot. I mean, there's just, that's all there is to it. So, I don't know. I think that's one of those things that's, I relate it to the same as people that would complain going to Disneyland. Like, Disneyland's goal is to get your money out of your wallet and into theirs. And they're going to do it any way they can. So stuff costs money. There's lineups. There's all those sort of things. And you just got to kind of figure it out. So the other thing that kind of drives me nuts with the whole power tour thing is what a bunch of privileged people complaining. Like, you're not only do you have a hot rod, which I think for a lot of people don't even have, and you're taking your vacation, and you're going to all these events. I mean, it's not cheap. And then you're still complaining about how it's not... perfect. I'd really like to see those people fill out, like, what would you like the trip to be?
Well, they'd like to go by themselves with 25 of their buddies.
Well, then do that. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, hey, we had, like, when me and Danny went a couple times, every year we've had at least one or two of our rooms canceled per trip, right? And we, like, pre-booked through, I don't know, hotels.com or whatever the hell it is. And we get there and they're like, oh yeah, no, they oversell every year and then it just is what it is. And you're like, well, that's great, other than the fact that we just drove 2,500 miles and we were planning on doing this. So like, yeah, sorry, it is, nothing I can do, sweetie, they would say, and that's the end of it. And I mean, it's a little frustrating, but it kind of is what it is. That happened, was that the first year, I guess, that happened, eh? And then the second year, do we even book hotels or just kind of wing it? Yeah. So we kind of learned that one, and we're like, eh, we'll just kind of call around, we'll figure it out, and it is what it is.
Well, it's more upsetting to, like, think you had a room, go to the hotel, and find out it's been canceled, than it was to just call around and find a room that morning.
Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. So...
especially because you're going to find out, too, as the tour goes on, like, there are, unfortunately, people that don't make it, so then they cancel their room.
Well, and like, even that... So we were there the one night, and we actually had a room, and we were with Newbern and Alex Taylor and all that, and Lucky, Hot Rod Garage Lucky, his room got canceled. Like, he's the talent. Like, he was the guy at Hot Rod Power Tour. Yeah, and they're like, oh, sorry, sir, there's no room, and this and that. So, like, you know, we were like, well, we'll figure something out. We said you could stay with us or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I'll figure something out. He ended up just driving all night to the next venue.
He, like, slept in his truck.
He just didn't care. Like, it's just...
But that's, I mean, for him, too, he was, like, working the next day at the venue.
Yeah.
Like, please just punch to see everybody and take pictures and say hello. Like, that, like, Lucky in that moment was the definition of being a hot rodder.
So, yes. I think that at the end of the day, Power Tour is a blast. You should go. I recommend everyone, if you're in the hot rods and you want to go do all that stuff, absolutely go. But also, pull your head out of your butt a little bit there and realize that, you know, it is what it is sometimes, and it's not going to be all sunshines and lollipops.
The other thing about the Power Tour, and this is always controversial, is what cars should be allowed to go. And people are obsessed with gatekeeping what a hot rod should be. Only certain makes and models should be allowed to go, and that anyone that's trying to bring, you know, their Tahoe or their whatever family PT cruiser, they shouldn't be allowed to attend the event, like, at all. Which is crazy.
Well, you know, I have mixed feelings on that. I do think it should be... I mean, I think it's cool myself. I'd like to do it the exact opposite. I think it'd be cool. To do it like a stock Model A. Like, that's hard. Like, now you're doing it in something like that. Versus, I mean, someone has a car like this, is bone stock, it'll do it. Or, I mean, someone could have a brand new Corvette driveline in here. So what's the difference between that and a brand new car? It is what it is. I don't know. It's, if you're out there having fun. Some people, though, what drive me nuts is the, you know, when people turn left and they don't understand that your 55 Chevrolet actually has to go around them. Traverse. What was I saying there? I was mad about something.
About hot rods and the ears.
Oh, yeah. It is what it is. Just do whatever you want. Have a good time. Plan A, B, and C. The amount of people that are on the hot rod site going, oh, plan A's not going to make it. And I'm like, we have like 4 weeks yet. What do you mean plan A's not going to make it? Like, so they're all, no, I'm going to take the minivan. Well, no, just fix your shit. Like, put a transmission in it or put a radiator in it or redo the brakes. Like, you know, I mean, if you were building a car in 30 days, a little tricky. I mean, that's basically the deadline we did. We did Biloxi last year. Was I think I had 6 weeks to build that car from a, you know, bone stock six-cylinder into the gasser and all that stuff and get it there. And that was a little stressful for sure. But
yeah, we got the distress call on the Sunday night or something, Mom, and I think about with an Allen key.
Yeah.
Changed the alternator. Yeah. The brand new alternator that crapped out.
In the middle of a random parking lot in the rain.
Yeah. Well, just about what you'd expect.
But I had an alternator in the trunk and I had a brand new toolkit that I thought would be good, but it didn't have the right Allen key. Yeah. So there you go, now I knew. But I mean, it's just, I don't know, one of those things. I guess everyone's different. And I think a lot of people like the idea of doing this stuff. Like, everybody watches Vice Grip and goes, oh, I like the idea of this, buy a car and drive it home and this and that. And even his longest videos are 3 hours, let's say. So you're like, okay, you know, this and that. But we don't realize is the amount of time that goes into that three-hour video.
Yeah.
Especially some of those cars you're just on the highway for hours and hours and, like, just kind of hating your life a little bit there.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like, you're driving 30 miles an hour and you go, well, it's 2 hours away. Well, it's 2 hours away at 65 miles an hour or more. It's at 30 miles an hour. That's a little longer.
And stuff's breaking down and all. And you're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, the thing tosses an alternator and you're like, you know, he makes it fixed in 3 minutes. You're like, well, that's not too bad. Well, the reality is the thing took crap. Then you had to figure out how to get an alternator, then get the tools, then change it, then it was the wrong alternator because that's all they had, then, oh, the belt's different, then all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole day to change an alternator on the side of the road versus in your garage at home.
Well, that's right. It in your garage at home, it's a pain in the ass because you got to go back a couple of nights to get the right belt. If you're in the middle of nowhere... With your other car.
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, drops by on the highway, well, I'll bring the belt to you or something, and then it doesn't work. Well, you find another guy to bring it back and get the other one. And,
like, that's... I think people think they want to do that, and then they start doing it. And I got to think that 99% of people that think they want to do it, they'll collapse like a house of cards when it comes down to it. And I figured out I don't know why I enjoy, because at the time I'm very angry about it, but things that are hard, it's stressful, it's frustrating, but then you kind of test yourself, you get it done, and then once you do it, it's a pretty good story.
Well, without adversity, you're never going to grow or change or learn to adapt.
That sounds like a real Tony Robbins speech you just gave there. With
I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah, you're too young and pretty.
I am pretty, thanks.
Yeah, but you're not too young, I guess, eh?
Hey, I'm also young, very young.
So, I don't know, I just think that that whole power tour shtick, people need to kind of realize what you're getting into. I mean, if your car's not ready for it, you're the idiot.
Power tour, the power tour Facebook page is supposed to be a place of joy and fun. And y'all are just really mean on it to each other, so stop that.
I just unfollowed it. It was easy.
Like,
you don't got to hear it anymore. That's where people just go there to complain.
To complain and to whine and to, like, be rude about other people's cars. It's terrible. That's not what this community is supposed to be about and not what any of us want it to be about. So pull your head out of your butt.
Just unfollow it. It's easy. It's too much negativity. You know what? But when you go to Power Tour, if you have a good attitude, you'll find someone else that has a good attitude, you'll ride with them, and life's good.
Best week of your life.
Yeah.
Every year we've gone, we have had the best times, we have met the best people, we've heard so many of, like, these amazing stories from folks that we can't believe we get to meet from Canada all the way across the world. The guy from Belgium.
Yeah.
Like, Power Tour is super awesome, and everyone should have the opportunity to go if they can. But it's so much of it is what you make it.
Oh, it's just- anyways, you know, I mean, we did it, well, I guess, many years ago when we were kids, but I wonder if people still do it, like the Great American Road Trip. Like, do people still go by? I mean, obviously, it's not the, you know, the Vista Cruiser or the whatever Chevy Chase bought there.
Yeah.
And, you know, go on, like, to Wally World type thing. Like, is that a deal? Because, I mean, I feel like in 1955, easily someone could have walked into the dealership, got this car, loaded the kids up, and they went wherever, the Grand Canyon in a 55
Chevy. It's a miracle
Chevy.
Anybody made it, Dave.
Yeah. No cell phones.
Yeah, kids sleeping in the back parcel shelf.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Points ignition. Yeah. What the heck? What were we thinking?
Where did you guys go on a road trip?
Oh, just like West Hawk Lake and stuff like that or whatever. But, you know, it's one of those things. You're just, I don't know. But do people still do that now? Like, do people still go get a new Suburban and drive across the U.S. or they just fly everywhere? Or is it all just interstate stuff? Because, I mean, it's like, I don't really, the traveling is irrelevant. I like the journey of where we're kind of going and the back roads and the seeing, you know, antique shops and kind of junk like that.
I agree.
Murray, you're not giving us a whole lot today. Anyway, so that's our little rant about the old road trip. Get your car ready, pull your head out of your ass, expect to pay $11 for a lemonade, and, you know.
It's expensive, that's
just
what it is.
If you have a sunscreen or a sunburn, if you wear sunscreen, that's on you.
Yeah. Where is your, like, dream road trip? What would you want to do?
This video might turn into me pulling someone out of their car and beating them,
killing them
to death because they keep pulling out in front of me.
I'm looking to do the Pacific Coast Highway.
Oh, me
too. That's what I would like to do.
You want to go right now?
What car do you want to do it in?
Oh,
Brooklyn?
No, I think.
Oh!
I think that would be a bit of a problem. No, we're going to take the BMW because we have the dog. Can't leave the dog at home. But I want to go diagonally across the states to end up in California, then go up to D.C. where we spend the winter. That would be a nice trip.
You should do that.
Yeah. That would be really cool.
Oregon's supposed to be really nice. I've heard lots of good things. I'd like to, you know, see that. And, I mean, California, that's obviously the place to be. But I don't know. I guess we'll see when we get there. But it seems to be, why would you ever live anywhere else other than California? But I guess that also.
There might be a few people from the south who are furiously typing,
well,
why California is not the place
to be. California, I didn't think exactly. But we were just in LA.
I think the weather is fantastic.
Yeah.
The climate is fantastic. The water is cool. The terrain is cool. I think there's a lot of other things politically that might get people a little cranked up. But
well, also, I mean, the one thing that everybody universally says, other than once it's a great place, is traffic is unbelievable.
It is a nightmare.
Which I really hate. So it's I think it's kind of similar to where we go on vacation. It's in Victoria, which is on an island about 80 kilometers from Vancouver, which, so the climate is similar, and my nephew lives in Vancouver, so we've been there, but Vancouver is awful and packed and busy and people everywhere and line up like you say, and a mere ferry ride away, it's calm and relaxed.
Yeah.
And so I think it must be like that. Like, California is a big place, and I'm sure that the climate is not significantly different, you know, 100 miles from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And there's got to be way less people. And I mean, the coast goes the whole way up, so
yeah,
I'm pretty sure you should be able to find somewhere that has the good stuff without the traffic and the people and all that. And there's things to see. Like, you went to the Peterson Museum. I'd like to do that.
The Peterson Museum was great. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was, but again, that was, I mean, a nightmare for traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, it's neat. I mean, there's so much stuff there. How can you not have a good time? But again, if you go there and all of a sudden you're mad at traffic, well, like, what are you doing? Like, it's,
well, you have to sort of plan. When Mom and I took a bus tour and we went to Boston as part of the trip, and this guy driving the bus, I would have slit my throat five times over. He had this huge bus, and where they dropped us off, there was a thing where they allow the bus to stop for 10 minutes, get everybody off and leave. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traffic was crazy, and there's parts where it goes under the ground and pops up God knows where. If you didn't know where you were going, it would be 15 shades of ugly. So we got on the bus. We went right where we were. They dropped us off. We had, you know, 2 hours to do what we wanted to do. Got on the bus. I didn't have to worry about that. So I think maybe that would be, you know, you can have your whole nice road trip, but you get within a certain distance of where you want to be and let somebody else worry for the, you know, the day, a hotel or whatever, and then you leave again. Because that's
the bus tour, like a cruise where if you're not back on time, they'll leave you?
No, actually they wait for you because somebody lost his passport and so everybody was going, we have to go, and he was looking around and we were like 2 hours late. How to have 40 people really angry at you?
He did not win Mr. Congeniality.
He did not, because that is like losing your passport apparently is like it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. So.
Yeah, you know that happens to the best of us sometimes. I forgot my wallet on the airplane not too long ago. It just happens.
After I was like, you have everything? You're like, yeah. Why are you even asking?
Yeah.
And we get off the plane, we have to catch a connecting flight, and then you all send your check, you're like, well, I don't have my wallet. And the walk of shame you have to do back up to the plane.
But you know what? It always works out.
It does.
And we'd have figured it out one way or the other. Because you had my passport.
I did.
I just didn't have my credit cards. We can figure it out without that. A driver's license and credit card is easy to get. I will say the non-synchro first gear is a little.
You just got to get better at double clutching.
Thanks, Mer.
I'll show you how to do
it. My father never showed me when I was young.
I showed you. You just didn't remember or pay attention.
Actually, Mer, speaking of showing, someone had... Did you just burp in my face?
Nope. I was just paying attention.
You seriously just burp in my face?
No, I was going to say something, but then I didn't.
Uh-huh. Someone was wondering who got you into cars and, like, what you would tinker on when you were younger and stuff.
Boy, I don't even remember. It was not my dad, because he was not a car guy at all. A bit of a woodworker and, you know, taught me about tools and stuff like that, but not cars. I just kind of was interested, you know, Hot Rod Magazine and Car and Driver and all those things, and started, and I always had a flair for mechanical things, how stuff works, how to take it apart. Maybe a little weaker on how to put it back together again, but...
Putting it back together is overrated.
Yeah, then that was it. I don't remember a time when I wasn't interested in things mechanical. When I was a wee lad, there used to be a little kit called Mecano, where a whole big box of pieces, and you build whatever you want. So, I mean, I did that. That's probably where it all started.
Interesting. What was your very first, like... Hot rod build or classic car?
68 Firebird 400 convertible.
And why did you choose that?
It just happened on at the right time. I was either Camaro or Firebird, so I opted for the Firebird. And that was. And I learned all about how to get suckered in by a used car dealer and stuff like that, because shortly after I got it, I had to rebuild the engine. But that
you
was.
You bought it from a dealer?
Yeah. Yeah. And then that was, like I said, I was young and stupid.
Now you're just old and stupid.
That's right, yes.
Some things never change.
Yeah.
Anyway, Murr is old and stupid. GoPro overheated 23 minutes into the drive. So, we actually were in the scummy part of town, so we pulled into the McDonald's.
We got ice.
They gave us some free ice. Had I wouldn't say a homeless man, but a questionable character enjoy the car. So that's pretty good. Anyways, we're going to get back in the road. Before we do that, let's give Murr his gift, but don't show our address. Can you rip the box? Father's Day gift, Murr.
Father's Day's not till tomorrow.
Yeah, but...
Oh, we're on camera now, so okay.
We're going to use as much of this as we can.
All right.
We wrapped it. Actually, we had it personally wrapped by Bezos.
Bezos wrapped it himself, I heard.
Okay.
Is that the right box?
I hope so. I didn't even look.
This might not be the right box. I assumed it was.
No, that's it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Show the people.
I am.
I
have to unbox the unboxing. Wow.
So I got one of those. It's pretty good. You were saying...
Yeah, I don't...
Kind of a...
I don't have one
You don't
of those,
have one, and it's and really gonna, like...
Yeah.
Whether you need one or not.
No, but this is something that we can tuck easily in the car when we go to the coast, just in case something grievous happens.
Well, it's always handy. I mean, you can charge your phone off it. I think it's got a light on it. I got the big one, and it's,
oh,
it's
this
pretty
is,
handy.
Yeah, this is, 6.5 to 4 liters, so that's good. BMW is only 3 liters. So
you're
it's
fine.
Good. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, you guys. That's very nice.
Well, you're welcome. Okay. So, are we back on the road now?
Yeah.
What else were we talking about? See, now the shifter is a little stiff. Mm-hmm. Now you think it'll start hot?
Oh, that runs nice.
It's the Rolex 55 shift.
Actually, Mer was asking you when the camera was off. You guys didn't really get into it. But if you remembered still how to double clutch...
No.
He said that you were doing it wrong.
Yeah. Grind them until you find them.
So how are you doing it, Dan? And then Mer, how...
Oh, I'm not. Did you hear that?
It?
Oh, you did. I'm just winging it. Because you know what? All this changed the whole transmission.
How are you supposed to actually do it, Mer?
When you're coming up to a slow stop, the idea is you want to match the RPM what it is in first gear. That's what you're trying to get in. So if you're going 15 kilometers or 15 miles an hour in second, and it's at 2,000 RPM, you would go down, put it to neutral, let the foot off the clutch, rev it up to 3,000 or whatever it would be at that same thing, put the clutch in, and put it into first gear. And it'll just go in, smoothly.
Why did it grind there?
I don't know.
The clutch was in. That's fine.
What?
Did you spill ice on my mint interior?
I spilled the ice everywhere.
Danny has a wet bum.
Not my wet bum, but I did spill it in the car.
This is why we can't have nice things.
It's just ice.
Well, I just thought something I noticed in our luxurious drive, that the speedometer works on this car.
The speedometer works!
And I have to say, I can't remember the last time you built a hot rod. And the speedometer worked.
My speedometer did work, and then it started making a funny noise, so then his solution was to just take it off the cable.
Yeah, I feel like it's ganging up on Dan here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to be nice. We're actually just talking about, too, we have one car sold and one car going to look at tonight now.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, so easy come, easy go. I guess we have to address it a little bit, but the 55 pinky fell through.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a kerfuffle at the end of the day, so we let that one, whatever, we presto changeo reverso the deal, which was a little frustrating, but such is life, it is what it is. The only problem was I had ordered a floor pan, a front disc brake kit, and control arms, so...
So the solution is just to find something that fits all those things. So there you go.
You know, I think there's probably another Tri-5 Chevrolet in my future.
I think there is, yes.
It's not the end of the world,
no,
but it is what it is.
Frustrating experience, but...
And as always, like, this is a little bit more up to date. So the convertible, the 57 Chevy Ragtop is gone. The Cobra is... going. I've got a deposit on that, so it's as good as gone on Monday.
Which is today.
Just
today.
Oh,
that's
today. Yeah. So I always forget what day I'm really in.
Yes.
And so the wagon's gone, the hardtop's gone, the black car's gone. Man, the guy with the black 57, he sends me videos, I'm going to say twice a week, of just beating the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Smoky burnouts. Different wheels and tires, just like whatever, and just enjoying it. Actually, he's going to Back to the 50s, I think it's this weekend.
Right now, yeah.
So he's assumingly driving that thing to Minneapolis. Hopefully it's all good, but I tell you, he tested her out good before he went. So hopefully it wasn't like had this much more left in it after all the burnouts, and he's going to find out and...
Well, is that the one that had the rear end with the little bomb on it, or
no, that was my 55.
Oh.
But that one that one had a, essentially, I mean, I told him, he's going to change the rear end, so I'm hoping I'm going to be able to buy it back out of him, but it's got a posi center section,
okay,
which is actually rare and, I mean, but pricey to find.
But a 5.67 center section.
Like 55 to 64, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the 9-inch drop in from the front there.
Yeah.
So they're like, typically, actually, the center sections aren't the problem in those things, it's the axles. They break axles all the time. Which, that being said, I don't think I've ever broken one, so...
We're next to a really nice white Kia Soul, Danny. Do you feel...
Sometimes I do miss my Kia Soul, I will say.
You know what it has? It has its winter tires on it still.
So does my Caprice.
Oh. So they came back on me, didn't it?
Speaking of nice-looking cars, depending on the 50s or 60s, which decade was better for car styling, in your guys' opinion?
I'm going to say 60s.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I think it depends. If you want an all-out cruiser or something like that, I mean, chrome and, like, interior-wise and all that, I think the 50s is much nicer. Metal dashes. I think they did, like, that, is it Art Deco or whatever it's kind of vibe. So if you're going from, like, a styling standpoint, that, like, if you want to look at it in a museum, but from a driving it standpoint, man, they figure a lot out between 55 and 65.
Like, what would be the big differences?
Well, so, like, a 55 Chevy is, like, the first real year of, like, independent front suspension. Like, a 54 Chevy would have had, like, a beam front, the kingpin front axle, which is fine, but definitely not super nice. And, so anyways, the 55 would drive way nicer than a 54. But then... this, like, you know, whatever, control arm setup is very similar years later, but when you compare a 55 Chevy to, like, a, you know, late 60s Chevy front end, it's just better later on. Like, they figured it out, I think.
And disc brakes and sway bars and proper shocks and...
stuff that just really makes it drive a lot nicer and ride smoother.
Well, and I think a big part of that, though, too, especially in the America where these cars were built, was the invention of, like, the... interstate, whereas in 55 you just kind of chugle around and do whatever, and you're, you know, on kind of two lane roads. But I think it was in like the 70s ish or when they started putting in those big freeways, they started going faster and all that stuff, and cars were meant for the highway, gear ratios changed and all that sort of stuff.
And tire technology, big huge one there. And I mean, really, it's like,
when you say tire technology, like, what does that mean?
Well, radial tires made a huge difference in combination with everything else. And really, I think if you look about the decades, up to, like, once you hit 73, then it starts to get kind of ugly. And then, I mean, in the 80s and 90s, it's pretty much of a stretch to find something that you can call a classic. But I don't
know. You offended a lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, very loud something beside us.
Motorcycle.
Yes.
The other day was funny when we were in the Nomad and the guy was in some kind of hybrid.
You'll have to be more specific as to which Nomad we're talking about.
We're in one. In the black Nomad.
We pull up at a red light there in front of the superstore, and a guy in a Prius is beside us. Actually, so what happened was the guy who bought the ragtop, we did all the bill of sale and stuff, okay, keep everything. Well, he hands everything back to Danielle. So then we go sit inside, and she's like, I have two bills of sale. I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay, so I called the guy, and he was just down at the Wendy's. So I'm like, okay, we'll just go drop the bill of sale off for you. He's like, oh, okay, thanks. So anyways, you hop in the black Nomad, and we hit a light, and beside us, there's a guy in a Prius, and he's like... you hear that? And he's like revving it. Of course, the Prius just goes from like idle to like 1500 RPM. Like, there's no revving.
Yeah.
And we raced a little bit. He almost had us.
He did.
We had a slight traction issue.
Yes.
Tires didn't have enough heat in them. But yeah, no, it was pretty good. But anyways, back to the 50s and 60s. I also think it's like a magic thing. So, I mean, just kind of cars, I think, up until the 50s. Like, they had some styling, they were neat, you had your Duesenbergs and all your stuff like that, but your generic, you know, you don't hear people talking about a 52 Chevy like it's a super iconic car. They're nice, they're neat, they make cool customs, I mean, nothing against them, but they're not a 55 Chevy.
And it usually involves putting a modern driveline, modern frame, suspension.
Yeah. Versus this, which is bone stock. If you took a bone stock 54 and a 55 Chevy, and this one could overdrive, independent suspension. I mean, you could cruise this thing to Florida as it is today, you know. 54 Chevy, you can do it, but yeah, a little rougher, not as nice of a ride, different steering, different all that.
The old ones is flasher oil systems. They don't have full pressure oil, so they're not designed to run 3,000 RPM continually.
It's, yeah.
You know, so a lot of things changed.
So then that, and then you go into the like late 50s and into the 60s, well, that's when they started really being able to kind of, you know, like I said, be able to put miles on, dual purpose, all that sort of stuff. They had still had the styling, then they got the power, and they didn't have to deal with any of the safety or emissions yet.
Yes, that's right.
And then, like Murr was saying, by, I mean, really 72 or 71 it started, and
yeah,
then by 74 or 5 it was kind of all but over.
Yeah.
Where everything was neutered for horsepower, compression, and air pumps, and big bumpers.
Yeah, like a 75 Corvette 454 at 180 horsepower, or something like
yeah,
that. It was just like,
But so,
something rattling.
Something's rattling. So anyways, yeah, that's a big thing. I think, you know, that's why a lot of those cars now, or people do it, like you buy like a Roadster shop chassis and you can put anything you want, make it nice and modern and fun to drive and all sorts of stuff. So, I don't know. I think if you had to just pick a car that was stock or whatever, I'd pick something from the 60s. My favorite, well, one of my favorites, is a 70 Chevelle, though, so right on the end of 69, I guess you want to call it there, but... What else you got?
What would have been, like, the oldest car that you guys worked on in your shop class, Mark?
We did some people's 50s cars that people came in, but principally it was just drivers, you know, Toyotas, pickup trucks, maybe some stuff from the 70s, stuff like that.
Was there anything really unique?
Well, you also have to realize that Murr started teaching in the 80s.
That's right.
So
yeah,
even just a 10-year-old car would have been in the 70s. So it seems like it's not like it's today and you're working on something from the 50s. It was at that point it was a 25-year-old car, which is still pretty old, but it's like we're in something from the 90s now. Yeah.
And if you have your classic 55 Chevy 2-door hardtop, maybe that's not the place for somebody to learn on your car. I mean, the ones we did are owned by the kids or parents or, you know, a few things like that. But, no, unfortunately, that's... I would not recommend taking your classic automobile to a high school auto shop unless you sort of know who's going on there, you know? But...
That seems fair enough.
Cheapest tire you can buy right now is fine.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
It depends on the use that you're going to put in it. And as the tires get stickier and better handling, they also wear out faster. So you want to decide what use it is. You don't want to put real sticky tires on your, you know, Dodge minivan particularly. And the other thing is, go by the aspect ratio of the tires. Like if you have tires that are very short and fat, they're going to handle better, but they're going to ride much rougher. And that's unfortunately what they do now. The stupid idea that they've come up with, and I'm completely against it, but cars like my BMW, because it's the fancy one with the fancy motor, they put these short, fat tires on it, which hit potholes and blow out and things like that.
How is your BMW tire escapade going?
Well, I guess we'll find out. I talked to the nice insurance people on Friday. They're going to send me some kind of a check, but there's going to be some sort of a fee because it's... has had actual been around the block more than five times. I guess we'll see what it is, but that's a.
So you've got. Did you put 10,000 K on those tires and have two blowouts?
Yeah. No, those tires. They're only summer.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've got. I don't know. They were new when I got the vehicle, and I doubt there's 4,000 kilometers on them. I lost one last year, so it had 2,000 on it. Now it's a new one. And then whatever I drove the end of it this year, the ones that I drive in the winter time, which are 50 series, I mean, we've been to the coast and back twice, so they've probably got 10 or 15,000 kilometers on them with no issue whatsoever. So
2,500 miles, you blew out two tires. Really says something about the Manitoba roads.
It certainly does. And they also told me something really nice. Oh, and we won't be covering you anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because, you're the problem.
Well, because, yes. Well, because I the last one I hit was a pothole full of water, which you don't see. So they asked, well, did you try to avoid it? And I said, well, no, it was pouring rain and you can't see. And the puddles are over the hole. You don't know how deep it is. So, but it did that. So popped the sidewall of the tire. But because it didn't damage the rim, then they wouldn't pay for it. They did this time, but they wouldn't do it again. So I said, so what I really should do is if I have a blowout, I should whack it into a curb and do $5,000 worth of suspension damage, and then,
Well, the problem is, I mean, it's a gimmick, but them tires ain't cheap. Like, I priced them out through work, and they were $700 my cost or something.
Oh, they were. They're astronomical. A tire put on and balanced was $1,096. One tire. For a BMW SUV, which is like just a generic car.
Remember how I was talking about those guys complaining about Power Tour?
Yeah.
And now you're complaining about you have a BMW SUV.
Oh, no, I knew when I bought the car, I knew it.
So you were trying to rev it, still ground rev.
You had another clutch up.
You know what $1,000 gets you in a 55 Chevrolet?
Yeah.
Four tires, four rims,
and
mounted,
engine.
Balanced, and we went for lunch.
Yeah.
Or if you were going to choose, like, a tri-five, what would you choose?
I think some sort of a 57, like either a Tudor hardtop or a convertible in black. I just think those are.
That's so boring.
Oh, I think those are the one of the nicest designs they've ever built.
I had one of each for sale, and you didn't even buy one.
I know.
You didn't buy mine.
I know.
Because you have the brick one, though.
But we have the brick one.
The supercar
Canadian
guy.
Supercar, yes. Yes. Making slow progress. Where's my alternator? Did you order it yet?
I haven't ordered it yet.
You haven't ordered it yet?
I'm sorry. I'm.
Danny.
I have no control.
It was supposed to arrive today when I sent you the text. Get on it, man.
I'm sorry, man. There's only so much selling cars, making videos, going to work.
I know.
You know,
well,
kissing hands, shaking babies.
It's the limiting factor. I can't build the rest of my brackets until I have it.
Would you like me to do it right now while we're driving?
Yeah, get
a
ticket.
That's unsafe. Don't do that.
Nobody wants to die.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's all fine. You want to take a quick break here? We're at 20 minutes on the nose before
we'll
this thing
cool down the
nuclear melts down. If we had some ice, we could put it in it.
We have ice. I picked it all up.
Oh, just put it on the floor. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsor. Oh, yeah, Blue Chew dropped us. We're mad about it. And people were asking about it. Have a drink?
Yeah. Here you go.
All right, well, we're back.
What are you drinking?
Oh, we're fancy bottled water people now. I'm trying to cut out
carton
the sugar.
Water, people. You drink water from cartons now. I just got my own Costco membership.
It's an adult juice box.
It is. So I just got my first Costco membership ever.
Okay.
Because usually when I need stuff from Costco, I actually just ask Mer and Mum to get what I want for me.
Now you guys can go together.
We can go together. But so I
something like that. Well, you can't just say
lots of
you can't just say I got lots of snacks and give no context of how much I spend.
When we find out how much I spend, then people get the context.
Well, okay, then that he must have bought the giant snack pack, so maybe $300. It's absolutely impossible to leave Costco now without spending $150.
I spent $300.
Yeah.
But everything, so if you get like a bag of chips from Costco, the bag is like this big. Oh, yeah. There's one.
So everybody wave. Did you notice?
She's not gonna notice that.
I guess she's going, what are they doing? She doesn't get it.
Anyways, so that was my Costco adventure. Now, Mer, speaking of adventures and things, you have some tools.
Oh, yes.
A mobile tool review.
A mobile tool review, which has never happened before.
Mer reviews on the road.
You know, you're probably right. There's not a whole lot of people doing tool reviews driving around the 55 Chevy Nomad.
I would say the number of people that have done that would be zero, now one.
What a thing. We're doing something, eh?
Yeah. All right, well, I don't know. Danny says that I should keep coming up with these odd things.
Well, I don't think the people will.
Okay, that everybody should have. So I brought this along. This is a heat gun, and this is used for heat shrink tubing, and if you have to bend anything that's plastic to get it to fit. You can use your Bic lighter and things like that, but this just works really, really well. They're not a lot of money. And
they sell cordless ones now.
Does a nice job. And they do have cordless ones.
Which are very handy.
Yeah, they have ones that are cordless now. This is just one I've had for 97 years. So I would recommend, and if you're doing anything with electrical, that's a good thing to have. Heat shrink everything. Like if you're doing your trailer connections to your boat, if you do a heat shrink job, and you've soldered it to begin with, it is basically a forever thing.
Okay, now here's a question for you.
Okay, here's a question.
Because I think we're going to differ on it.
Okay.
Ride that in there. Used to drive me nuts because I'm partially doing it on purpose at this point.
you know you're supposed to put it into second and then into first.
Yeah,
right?
I don't care about any of that. This is what we're doing. Anyway.
Okay.
We were in second.
Welcome to DD's Beach Hopper.
Does someone fall off this thing?
No, that was me.
Oh. I heard a noise.
Yeah, I heard that too. What fell off?
I was like, I'm pretty sure I bolted everything. Okay, electrical connections.
Yeah.
So you said solder heat shrink.
Yeah.
That's what you are. I, on the other hand, am a butt connector man. So now...
Because you like butts?
Yes. So now what I like is I like a butt connecting with the heat shrink on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll butt connect, heat shrink, and then sometimes I'll even put a heat shrink on top if you want to cover the spade even.
Right.
It's like a whatever.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I like. Now, a lot of people, they don't like that. They think solder. Now, in my... Okay, hang on. We'll go second.
Or there, it goes in perfect. How about that? What did I tell you? Just like...
You know what? You're old and stupid, but you have a little bit of knowledge. Now, anyway. So, are you a butt connector guy or a solder guy? Because I think when you solder things, the connection is great, but now you have a section, whatever you've done, which is hard.
Right.
And if it's in a wiring harness, it's been a door, if it's anything that's moving, it becomes the brittle part of the wire.
And you're absolutely correct. So, I like soldering things that are not going to move. So if you're doing, again, your boat trailer wiring and things like that, goes all the way up to your trailer lights, everything is nylock to the frame, it bounces up and down, but as long as it's not flexing, that's a forever condition. You can put it in and out of the water, gravel roads, it's never going to break. Now, if you are doing something that moves, that's a different kettle of fish. You shouldn't have a connector anywhere around that. You should make sure you replace the wire so the part that moves, if you're talking like a speaker wiring or something like that, and then you open and close it, then that's what you want to do. And of that, you can buy, although it's very hard to find, is very fine wire. You can still have like 16 gauge wire, but instead of the regular stuff that everybody uses, you can buy anywhere, it's very, very fine. And what that does is it allows it to flex back and forth. but it is hard to find. But that's the purpose of it. So any of those doors that have security on them, like at a store or something like that, and you see that flex back and forth, it's that very fine wire inside. They're designed to flex back and forth a couple of million times. So if you can find that, that's what you want to do if you're putting it in a door that moves.
So we're both right.
So we're both right. Yeah, let's make a note that we've actually agreed on something.
Podcast 11, we made it happen.
Yeah.
When it comes to the heat gun thing, is there specific things people should be looking for, or will just
any
heat gun do?
Anything.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I'll tell you a little hot tip. Literally, hot tip.
Hot tip.
If you're using this and you're doing anything on the inside of the car, do not... Okay, for a second.
It's too bad the camera can't see that, because you're doing it exactly right. Hard to believe it. Does he ever do that, Danny?
No, I always just pull it in. I let it grind. It's fine.
Now you know to give him shit.
Okay, so now we'll double clutch. Oh, this guy's not good. Oh, we almost had her. We could have really stolen something. Anyway,
Heat gun.
In its name, it gets hot, and if you'll notice in, I'm going to say every car that I've ever done, there is a mark on the carpet of where the tip of the heat gun has touched, and it has in fact smelted the wire. So, just be aware, there you go, I did it again for you. So, be aware of the tip, it gets a little hot.
And if that happens, make sure you have your fire blanket, and we're told you about last week.
Hopefully not. You got that far.
Actually, we got. There are a couple comments saying that they went and got fire blankets, Murph.
Really?
You are changing people's safety habits.
Yeah, you're saving lives.
Well, one man's opinion worth almost nothing, but oh well.
You know what? You're worth everything we're paying you.
I'm worth everything I'm paid for you.
This is slick.
Not supposed to do that.
That's actually a one way the wrong way, sir.
Yeah.
Wow, that was something to see.
He was playing with beads, though.
Yeah. Well.
That was something else right there.
Wow.
I'm going to say if people enjoyed this episode, a second camera going forward
would really be
something at this point.
Because
you would see all sorts of things, which makes me go, I shouldn't be driving this car.
Exactly.
We should have a big bubble around it because
yeah, I know.
That was a guy did a U-turn on a one-way street the wrong way, is basically what happened there.
During construction.
When you couldn't see anything.
On a major street, yes.
Uh-huh. But other than that,
it was
perfect
driver.
Big deal.
Yes. Yes.
So what's your next tool?
Okay, then the next tool, and ladies, don't be excited.
Blue Chew dropped us.
I know. Okay. Well, I guess it is blue too.
We don't need any of that shit.
Again, really weird to be in the car with my father-in-law and boyfriend sometimes.
This
has been way weirder.
Yeah. Everybody knows how to solder things, just that we talked about.
But connect them, yeah.
Yeah. But this is a desolder tool, and you just pump it like this.
I don't even know that. I've never seen one.
You've never seen one. Aha!
I have a pair of side cutters. That's my desoldering tool.
So if you are taking a connection apart, you heat it up with your soldering gun and just push the little button here, and it sucks it up. Sucks the solder right off, and you're back to like a factory connection.
Whoa!
Boy, I wish you could see the expression on his face.
I've never used one.
Yeah.
When was the last time you used that?
Well, anytime you do like a circuit board or something where you want just one good connection, like speakers and stuff like that.
Are you often repairing speakers,
Brad? Except yesterday I did. The speakers crapped out on the Mercedes. I had to change them. So there you go.
The German speakers crapped out?
No, they were ones that I put in when I got the car.
Did you buy them brand new at least with the warranty?
I bought them brand new at a garage sale. But no, the cones let go. Which is very surprising.
Well, it's because you're rocking out to Celine Dion.
Yeah. Oh.
Too loud.
Hey, you will not insult Celine Dion in this vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How much would one of those desolder things set you back?
Oh, I think they're $10, maybe, something
like
that. Is
that a genuine desolder tool?
That is a genuine desolder tool.
Who's it made by? Desolderer?
Soda Pullet.
What a name.
Also not sponsored.
Had it also not sponsored.
They've probably been out of business for 100 years.
I don't know. I've had this for 25 years,
you
I'm sure.
You can get that just at, like, your Harbor Freight, Prince Soda, Fire.
I've never seen one of those in my life.
No, I don't know if they have it at Princess Auto. All electronic stores have it. Anybody that does anything with circuit boards or solid state stuff, they would have this thing. Really simple. It's just a plunger that you prime and it sucks the solder off. But it works amazingly well. You wouldn't think that it would, but it just sucks all that molten solder right up in there and it goes away. So there you go.
Can you believe how well this car is doing? I feel like I've just jinxed it now, but...
Yeah.
This
is such a nice car to ride in.
It's quiet. Like, you can actually talk and all that sort of stuff.
And, you know, once you learn how to move the three and the tree correctly, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah, once I put that 700 R4 in here, it'll be all figured out.
All the stuff you could fit garage sailing for.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of garage sailing...
Oh, well, we're getting into the expert category of this pod.
Do you still have more tools?
Nope, that's it.
Test. Crappy camera, good.
Working.
So, we pulled over at the old A&W now. We fit McDonald's and A&W without getting a snack. It's amazing.
It's hard to believe.
To cool off the camera in a bucket of ice. Oh, what do you want here, Merton? Okay, just shift. Oh, see, now we're stuck in gears.
But I was asking
Daniel
her
was
about garage sailing, because... What is the best way to get the best price on your garage? Like, what are your garage sailing tips?
Just same as buying a car. Bring cash and then always give them a lowball offer because it is a garage sale. And figure out what it is that you wanted. Like, some people are insane and they'll have an item that they paid $100 for and now they would be pleased to sell it to you for $90 10 years later. So there's those type of people, and then there's people that really just want to get rid of stuff, sort of everything on this table a dollar, ranging from items that should be a dollar or something that should be $20. So
now, how many people do you think out there in fact have their favorite garage sale? They know an address, they see a sign, they know a couple times a year, sometimes they even drive by this guy's place. Maybe they're even friends with the individual.
Could be. Well, unfortunately, that ship has sailed long ago. I used to go to a garage sale, and this fellow had a store in northern Manitoba, and he had contacts that he bought all the stuff that they do now with Amazon. You can buy a pallet of stuff returned to Amazon. He bought stuff from a chain of stores called McLeod's here, which is a general purpose lumber, tools, stuff like that. And he'd buy all this stuff, and then he would have a garage sale before he shipped it all up north. And every time he had it, a couple of times a year, I would drop by, and I would usually fill my car with this stuff. And it was all, this guy never haggled on the price. It was always very cheap. And I still have stuff. I have copper pipe for, you know, plumbing pipe. I have plumbed the garage with air for that. I've done a lot of plumbing in my house, and I've still got that. And I think I paid $20 because they were all 12-foot-long pieces of pipe that had a bend in it or a dint or something, and they couldn't sell it as new. So it was well worth it, and unfortunately doesn't do that anymore. Very sad. So the garage sale seasons, I'm afraid, are... It's an idea that's come and gone. Your mom and I went out garage sailing today, and I think we probably spent, I don't know, $10. The deal of the day was I bought a lifetime supply of garden hose washers for a quarter.
Come on,
though. The new owners of our house will enjoy worry-free garden hose ceiling for years to come.
It's been like the best fun. signs do you have at a garage sale?
Oh, boy.
Oh, you have to give them time to prepare for this question.
Covers, I mean, I have bought a lot of Snap-on tools at garage sales. I bought a really nice Snap-on body hammer for $1 that was probably 50. It's hard to say. I mean, you gotta remember.
The way to win at a garage sale is finding an item that's worth a bunch of money and paying pennies on the dollar, or just like uniqueness of item availability. What is the preferred win there?
Yeah, you just have to, the window of opportunity is pretty narrow. You got to be out on the road by 9 o'clock, only lasts till maybe 10:30, all the good stuff is gone. So you got to pick your battles. We'll go here, there, and maybe you get lucky and maybe not. There's some areas of the city are better than others. There's some areas that you never go. So that's
okay. Now would you say you've ever had a garage sale rival, the same gentleman or the same who is maybe the same individuals maybe screwed you out of a couple of items a few times over, been there just the nick of time before, or have you done that to a individual?
The closest I've come is
55. Thank you.
Thank you. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Is when we used to go with your Uncle Jerry and Andy Joy.
Oh, yeah? Good looking. Oh, everything's for sale. Anyways.
Yeah, that would be about it. Garage sailing is a unique opportunity. If you don't enjoy it, it's not your thing. It's sort of like cars, you know, like all the work you did to that nice black Merrill that went away, you couldn't pay you to do it if you didn't love to do it.
Garage sailing for me is, I hate the people.
Yeah.
And it's such a crap. You'll go up there and people are, oh, look at this, they're selling and that. It's all garbage.
Yeah.
I don't need any of it. Like, it's,
yes, the golden age of garage sales is long since over. I'd say ended 5 years ago.
Do you want to tell people before we end here how you would rip off Canadian Tire from garage sales all the time?
Well, that was many years ago.
I think the Statue of Limitation has probably expired.
Yes. Somebody was asking about your most scandalous, like, automotive stuff.
Oh, this is it. There we go. We'll end it on that. About how Murr ripped people off.
Well, not that. It's that Canadian Tire, which is a big store in Canada, they would take anything back. So if you would buy absolutely anything that had a Canadian Tire sticker on it.
But no receipt.
With no receipt. That's right.
They'd return it for cash.
And you return it for cash. They didn't care. There was no computers that checked when you bought it, and you know, 30-day minimum. You could buy absolutely anything.
So they just go, if you could buy something for a quarter, and it had a $2 sticker on it, Canadian Tire, and it was still brand new.
Yeah.
You'd make $1.75.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're the reason why now, when anybody tries to return stuff to Canadian Tire, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, well, I played a small part, but I think they kind of figured it out. For many, many years, we had a thing that we bought at Canadian, or we bought at a garage sale for, I don't know, 50 cents. And it was a window scraper. And we tried to take it back, and that's when they started, no, you don't have a bill, you can't do it. So we were out a quarter on the whole thing. So for, I bet, 10 years or 12 years, we would wrap it up as a Christmas present and give it to your Uncle Jerry. And then the next year, he would wrap it up and give it to us as a Christmas present. So we did that for many years.
Well, isn't that how Teddy ended up with all those ornaments, right? Wasn't there the Christmas ornaments that he had so many of, so he would wrap them up every year? And
oh, he just did that to annoy his girlfriend. He was Christmas shopping on, like, you know, 10 days after Christmas, and they had these giant Christmas ornaments that said, I don't know, something hokey, I don't remember what they were, but they were like regular $6, and they were, I don't know, a nickel or something like that. And he bought a giant bag of them and has been giving them to his girlfriend for, I don't know, 15 years now, and she hates it. And we just actually were feeding it some stuff in this old room, and I found some more. So this year, his girlfriend is going to get yet another Christmas ornament that she will hate.
You're part of the problem.
I know. Oh, you have so little joy in your life.
That's why you should drive a 55 Chevy?
Yes. Oh, Danny said to make a comment about Father's Day. So I have a Father's Day anecdote.
Oh, good.
So we have a Father's Day anecdote. And many of the people that write in on your YouTube comments have said things like, you know, be happy you got to spend some time with your dad and, you know, car stuff that we do, which is nice. And we've had that. And we both get a good amount of fun out of doing that. And at some point, you'll be able to look back and appreciate it when I'm long since in the hole. But I would give a bit of fatherly advice to other fathers to accept your children. Because
sometimes we like to swim against the current.
Because sometimes they do. But I had a relative that had a fight with his son when he was like, I don't know, 18, 16, who remembers back then. And it was all over something stupid because he wouldn't get a haircut. He had, you know, long hair and all that stuff. But that used to be a thing. And
used to be, yeah.
And that was a big fight, and that fight lasted, I bet, 10 years or more. And they didn't speak for a long time. And just think, don't sweat the small stuff. We had lots of arguments about Dan's school story, shall we say. Like,
I made it through first time.
You made it through first time with a 52 in calculus, and we learned to accept that he was certainly clever enough to get a lot better marks than he did.
I wasn't motivated.
He was not motivated, that's right.
But if I find something, school wasn't for me.
School was not for you,
as it turns out, life I'm actually okay at.
Yes, well.
So sometimes, but at the time, you're going, oh my God.
Well, if
you're worried for your kid.
Yeah, that's right. You always want the best for your kid. That's something that one of the psychology professors I had said, you can always trust your dad. Your dad will never do anything to hurt you. Your dad is always the one that's on your side. So I would believe that. Although sometimes I know you didn't, but, you know, you have something out of the best of intentions. But
I always did what I thought was best for me, regardless of anything else. And maybe, just maybe, not everyone agreed with that. Yeah. I still do that today, believe it or not.
Well, there is a few things that over the years that, I mean, not when you were living at home, but after you moved out, you came back a few things and said, you know, you were right about such and such a thing. Which
you had
always,
a couple, yeah.
It was a couple. That was always did my heart good to say that the light bulb came on and whatnot. But so just accept your children for what they are, and
it'll probably work out.
And it'll probably work out.
Not everything's for everybody.
Not everything is for everybody.
Give a 55 Chevy, maybe they'll work on that instead of figuring out science.
Yes.
You know how much I've used science lately?
You use science all the time. You just don't realize it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Leverage and things like that. It's
I always understood that part.
Yeah.
Well, the battery's going to die, so thanks for watching.
All right, well, happy Father's Day. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day, Murr. Thanks for doing this, as always. I mean, I know we are paying you a pretty significant wage and all.
My official Corvette lease should be coming any day now.
We're working on the Corvette.
Yeah, from DD Speed Shop.
It might be like 4-door, 2-door conversion style, but we'll get you one.
And of course.
Or it'll be this big.
Or it'll be that big.
Go start somewhere. We'll see you on the next one.
Okay, bye.